It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the show. You know, there's an old saying about poking a sleeping bear with a stick. You better not do it, because eventually that bear's going to wake up, it's going to get annoyed, and it's going to attack. Dick's Sporting Goods is the one with the stick as of late. After the Parkland, Florida shooting, they yanked Modern Sporting Rifles out of their Field & Stream stores and announced they would no longer sell firearms or ammo to any customers under the age of 21 at any of their stores. Dick's didn't stop there, though. They poked the pro-Second Amendment bear again when, out of the blue, they decided it would be a smart business move to not just remove those AR-style rifles from their stores, but make a political statement by destroying them. And then on top of that, they poked the bear one more time, hiring pro-gun control lobbyists to lobby for stricter gun control measures in Washington, D.C. This from a sporting goods company that sells firearms and ammo. That final poke stirred the sleeping Bruin. Last week, the National Shooting Sports Foundation expelled Dick's Sporting Goods from its membership rules. The first time I've ever heard of this happening. I'm also guessing nobody associated with Dick's Sporting Goods will be getting any invitations to SHOT Show either in Las Vegas, since the National Shooting Sports Foundation runs that affair, the biggest trade show in the world when it comes to shooting, hunting, and the outdoors. On a related note, Springfield Armory, makers of not only AR-style rifles, but also very capable semi-automatic pistols, announced they are cutting all ties with Dick's. So, if you want to buy a Springfield XD or Springfield 1911 series pistol, you'll have to buy it somewhere else. Is more fallout coming down the pike? I suspect it will. And I also suspect Dick's Sporting Goods, having publicly abandoned the shooting sports community, will continue to see a slide in their profits, with their stock share prices falling nearly 38% in the last year alone. This week on America Outdoors Radio, have you ever fished for sturgeon before? They are found in a few places in North America, to include Florida, some rivers flowing into the Great Lakes, the Fraser River in British Columbia, and the Snake River in Idaho. But perhaps the best known place to hook into a sturgeon, and one of the few places where you can still keep one from time to time, is out of the Columbia River, bordering Washington and Oregon. We'll be checking in with one of the owners of Two Bob's Fishing Adventures, Bob Kincaid, who is on the water as we speak, looking to hook into a sturgeon that one of his clients is going to take home. Speaking of big fish, the International Game Fish Association is having a contest going on from now until September where you can win prizes for catching the biggest of any of 74 fresh or saltwater species of fish with conventional tackle, on the fly, or as a junior angler. Better still, three of these winners are going to be drawn to go on a two-person fishing trip of a lifetime to an exotic location for an adventure they'll never forget. Neil Horton, the president of the IGFA, will join us to tell you more about this. Another person we'll talk to today is Tom Carpenter with Pheasants Forever. When it comes to fall hunting success, two periods are critical. That would be how well the pheasants made it through the winter and how their nesting success goes in the spring. Tom's going to give you an update from several states reporting in across the country this week. We've got outdoors news about the most popular brands of fishing gear your fellow anglers are buying, and about McComey's Custom Lures, a small Oregon company making some great spoons and spinners that will not only catch salmon and steelhead out of the Northwest, but lakers and salmon out of the Great Lakes too. John McComey, the founder of this tackle company, will join us towards the end of our broadcast to tell you more about these lures. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we're taking you to the Columbia River in South Central Washington. That's where Bob Kincaid and Bob Craig, the owners of Two Bob's Fishing Adventures, are fishing for sturgeon as we speak. Bob Kincaid, welcome to the show.
Glad to talk to you and your guest, John.
Bob, catch and keep sturgeon fishing is kind of rare to do these days, but you're doing it right now, and it's open into early summer near the Tri-Cities in Washington, and it's also open until September 1st, further upstream between Priest Rapids and Rock Island Dam. How are things going for you and your clients this morning on the water?
It's a little slow this morning. We've had a few offerings. We started at the mouth of the Snake River, and where the Columbia and the Snake come together. Now we've moved up to I-82 Bridge, and we're just below it, just throughout the anchor. We're marking fish, and we'll see what happens here.
Bob, as we both know, there are a lot of white sturgeon in the Columbia River, and they get really big, up to 11 feet long. Why don't you describe to our listeners how well they fight? Because I don't think most folks have any idea.
It's a big wrestling match, John, is what it amounts to if you get into a big one. You're chasing that thing. You got to pop yourself off the anchor real quick, get the, you know, make sure the rods are up, and start chasing it. You're at the mercy of these big sturgeon. I mean, you can spend an hour or so trying to get them to the boat where you can handle them. You got to be careful of them. They got the spines on them. The big ones have wore off the knives, as they call them. But the smaller ones, you got to be real careful with, because they'll cut your lines. They like to get into the rocks and rub on them and try to get off. They are very smart fish, and they don't make many mistakes to live 100 years old, John.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And a lot of folks don't realize that, yes, you know, sometimes it's like hauling in a Volkswagen that's trying to rev up away from you, and you're just kind of trying to horse that fish in. But other times, these sturgeon, including the big ones, they'll go completely airborne on you. And man, that is an incredible sight to see when they do.
Oh, yeah. They'll come out of the water. They'll do anything they can. They're fighting for their survival, so they're going to do anything they can to get off the hook. We use braided line with a Dacron leader to the hook, which is about 130s or 150s on the hook leaders. And we're using 65-pound braid today, which I hope is big enough. I haven't hooked in any big ones, so we'll find out.
You sure will. Of that, I have no doubt. What are you using for bait there today?
We're using a squid, and we use a shad. We're using a salmon roe, which you put into nylons like you would for a steelhead, put it on the hook. We're using scent and shrimp and prawn oil. These fish are blind. They work off of smell is what happens. And when they come up, they have whiskers on the bottom of their chin, and they'll whisker the bait and see what happens. And then they got a big suction cup, you know, just like a vacuum cleaner, suck it in, and then the fun's on.
Oh, absolutely, and it is fun indeed. We have got to go, but one last question before we do. How do you like to cook those sturgeon that you get to keep?
Cook them? We like to beer batter and deep fry them. You can't beat it.
My personal favorite, smoked sturgeon. That, in my opinion, is hard to beat, too, and it makes for very good offerings when you're trying to get on somebody's land to hunt in the fall. We've got to go, Bob, but folks, if you want to go catch and keep sturgeon fishing, something very rare in these United States of America, the website to go to is 2BobsFishingAdventures.com. That's the number 2BobsFishingAdventures.com. One more time. 2BobsFishingAdventures.com. Go to their website, give them a call. They've got openings for sturgeon this spring, this summer, up and down the Columbia River, and it will be the trip of a lifetime. Bob, good luck this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, John.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut, too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. We make products for the relentless fishermen who know that big fish are caught by those who put in the work. With our Relentless Series tackle trays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA, Fish Fighter products won't let you down. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. It's time to talk pheasants, and we are talking to Tom Carpenter. He's with Pheasants Forever because he's got the scoop on how those roosters did last winter in our United States and how things are looking so far as we roll into spring. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, John. It's good to be here.
So, folks, if you go to pheasantsforever.org, you're going to find the entire article that Tom wrote about basically the overwintering and the early spring situation when it comes to pheasants. Not every state is covered, but a lot of them are. And I thought we'd just briefly talk about some of them here today. And let's start back east. Let's start with Pennsylvania, a state that, as a Westerner, I don't really associate as a pheasant hunting mecca.
Well, you know, Pennsylvania, traditionally back in the heydays, was an excellent pheasant hunting state. Of course, a lot of reforestation and changing ag practices have changed some of that. But Pennsylvania, you know, has a great Pennsylvania wild pheasant recovery area. And it sort of centers in Montour County. They had a pretty mild winter there. They'd call it normal, I would guess. Bottom line meaning, the pheasants that they have got through winter okay. They had a youth season there last year. They shot some wild birds. There's a lot going on in Pennsylvania with pheasants and quail, as a matter of fact. But basically, with some good spring weather there and some of the nesting cover they're building with that recovery area, you know, things are on the uptick in Pennsylvania.
Wandering towards the Midwest, how are things looking in Ohio and Illinois?
Well, Ohio had a pretty good harvest last year on pheasants, pretty much average. They had some extended snow cover, a little cold in January, but once again, it's Ohio. It's down there in those little lower latitudes, and they came through winter pretty good down there. I'd say it was pretty much average. And so spring could be good there, too. You know, a lot of this success of a autumn hunting season comes down to what hatches in the spring. I think if they get by without some heavy rains and flooding, I think Ohio could have, you know, a pretty good pheasant and quail hatch in their range. Once again, in Ohio, it all comes down to those areas with the habitat.
Let's talk about the state that I think more people associate with pheasant hunting than any other state in the Union. That would be South Dakota. They had a pretty rough winter, didn't they?
Well, I tell you what, winter got bad later in South Dakota. Western Minnesota and South Dakota sort of experienced the same type of winter. The good thing was they didn't have a lot of it until late, like I said. And I've talked to a lot of game managers out there in that Western Minnesota, which is, you know, connected to the Dakotas and in Dakota itself. And the basic message was the pheasants came through pretty strong, and they came through with enough left in the gas tank, I'd say, that those late winter storms, especially April, didn't affect them that much. People are seeing birds across the pheasant range out there, and so once again, it's going to come down to hatch. I think another thing that's going to affect South Dakota is they did have that drought area, especially in the central part of the state, and that hurt last year. You know, that's part of why the pheasant harvest was down there last year. That drought affected reproduction. If they get some timely rain this spring, a lot of those grasslands will come back, and they could have a little better hatch. So that's sort of what we're hoping now. I don't think winter hit hard in South Dakota, but we're going to have a good hatch there to build up numbers for a good fall hunt.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Tom Carpenter with Pheasants Forever to find out how our pheasants fared after the winter and they roll into early spring. Montana doesn't get quite as much press as South Dakota, but it's a solid pheasant hunting state. I was there a couple weeks ago. I saw a lot of ringnecks out there. How are things looking in Montana?
Montana's doing pretty good. I think the biggest challenge we're having in Montana, again, is drought. A lot of those eastern areas of the state, as well as some of the central, were pretty dry last year. That affected the grass, and that affected residual cover. It's good to hear, like, for instance, you're seeing birds out there. That's the report. Those are the reports we're getting out of Region 4, which is the north central part of Montana. Region 6 in northeastern Montana. They had sort of a rough season last year. They had a lot of drought, but where there's good habitat up there, They came through winter pretty good. It was a colder and snowier winter, but in areas where they had that habitat, especially some good wetland habitat and cattails, or in the form of, you know, good brushy cover, they came through winter pretty good. Southeastern Montana, probably the hardest hit area of the drought. You know, it's closest there to South Dakota. They had a few large storms this winter that could have had an effect. We don't have a lot of feedback yet on how the birds came through there, but spring did hit when it hit, came at just about the right time. Once again, it's going to come down to brooding, nesting and brood rearing in that portion of the state as anywhere else. If they get a little timely rain this spring, which they seem to be in some cases, you know, that could bring some of that grass up, make it tall enough those birds can start nesting. Montana's a big destination for pheasant hunting, for sort of an adventure bucket list. My suggestion always is do good research before you go out there, you know, and don't treat Montana as one big place. Treat it as about three or four different places. Zone in on those regions and see what kind of hunt you want to do.
Very good advice, and it's interesting you say that. I've been doing that research myself as of late. Let's head to California. It's a state that people don't necessarily associate with pheasant hunting, but there's a lot of good news out of the Golden State when it comes to pheasant this spring.
Yeah, both pheasant and quail did really well. The wet winter was good, and the early spring really helped. That's producing good vegetation. There's high hopes for good nesting and brooding. You know, it's going to come down to some of those, probably down to some of those brood rearing factors, including how many, is there bad storms, a little too much cold. Fortunately, with California, they had good March rains in the Central Valley. Valley's looking good. I think it could be a good hatch. That favorable weather could reduce a long-term trend in some of the pheasant counties, and that's what we're hoping for there. But really, winter wasn't much of a factor in California, and just not too much rain is what we need to produce a good pheasant hatch there. Quail similarly had some dry conditions last year. A little rain is going to help them come back and nest well this spring.
All right. Well, folks, lots of promise for the autumn hunting season, as you just heard. If you want more details, just go to pheasantsforever.org, and there's a banner link on the front page where you can get more details about this report and start planning your pheasant hunting trip for this fall. It's not too early to do so. By the way, if you're not a member of Pheasants Forever, consider joining. They do lots of great work for the habitat that these pheasants live in and the quail too. And that habitat work benefits other species as well. The website again is pheasantsforever.org. That's pheasantsforever.org. Check it out. Join and go to a chapter event like a banquet near you. Tom, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for this great information on America Outdoors Radio.
Yep, you too, John.
Do you enjoy wildlife and the outdoors? If you do, please join Pheasants Forever. We are making a difference for wildlife every day. Pheasants Forever is the only national conservation organization that leaves all fundraising dollars in the local communities where they are raised. That translates into wildlife habitat improvements and more wildlife in your own backyard. So, join Pheasants Forever today. Sign up online at pheasantsforever.org.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Backcountry hunters and anglers, the men and women working hard to keep public lands in public hands. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and I've got a question for you fishermen and fisherwomen out there. Have you reeled in a really big one? Well, if you have, you might want to get it photographed, weighed, measured, and submit it to the International Game Fish Association, because you may win one heck of a prize to include the fishing trip of a lifetime. With us here to tell you more about the annual contest that this organization puts on is Neil Horton, the president of the International Game Fish Association. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Why don't you give our fishing listeners a quick rundown of what this annual fishing contest going on through the end of September is all about?
Well, this is our annual global fishing contest that allows anglers around the world to compete against each other for three incredible fishing trips of a lifetime. One to Tropic Star in Panama, another one to Wilderness North in Canada, and another one to Zancudo Lodge in Costa Rica. And essentially, the basics of the contest are that we are focusing on 74 species covering both fresh and saltwater game fish. We have three categories of entries: conventional tackle, fly tackle, and junior anglers. And the winners of each species and each category, so there'll be a total of 222 category winners, will be entered into a drawing to win one of these three amazing fishing trips of a lifetime.
Well, I'll tell you what, any of those trips has me salivating. We'll get into more details about those in a minute, but I understand that for each of the prize winners, in other words, 74 species, three categories, the biggest fish in each category gets a prize from Costa and Yeti. What are those prizes that they're ponying up?
Yeah, if you're a category winner, so if you're one of the 222 people that host the biggest fish in fly, conventional, or junior angling across these 74 species, then you're going to win a pair of Costa sunglasses and a Yeti Rambler tumbler. So those are really premium items from two of our strongest supporters and partners here at the International Game Fish Association.
And I understand, in addition to that, Neil, that there's monthly drawings. What do you have to do to get in the monthly drawing for additional prizes?
Yeah, we're doing a variety of different kind of monthly promotions to get enthusiasm and around the program and to get more entries. So, for example, we may put out something on social media that says, whoever sends in the biggest submission for a largemouth bass catch this week would receive any of a number of prizes from our sponsors. Some Van Stahl that makes excellent fishing pliers. It might be some Rapala or Halco tackle. It could be a Yeti Rambler. So we have a wide variety of fishing-related items that we're going to give out on a one-off basis to stimulate participation in the program throughout the year.
And folks, all you have to do to find out more about that is just go to the IGFA Facebook page. Just Google International Game Fish Association. You'll get right there. But let's talk a little bit more about these trips for a lifetime. I understand each of these trips are for two people. And how long in duration are these, and what are folks going to be fishing for?
So, John, these are multi-day trips to some of the premier fishing lodges in the world. I think you would probably know Tropic Star in Panama, that was for years owned by the Andrews family and has a strong involvement with Guy Harvey and the Guy Harvey Ocean Institute. That's one of the premier places to fish offshore in Central America, fishing for billfish, including marlin, sailfish, etc. Also big pelagics like wahoo, and it's an excellent mahi-mahi or dolphin fish area. You can also fish inshore there for roosterfish, kubera snapper, and other inshore species. The trip to Canada, the Wilderness North, that's a lodge that focuses on trout and salmon fishing. So quite a different experience, but another opportunity to get out into the really pristine parts of the Canadian wilderness. And then Zancudo Lodge in Costa Rica, similar to Tropic Star in that it's a Central American fishery where you can fish for big pelagic species offshore, tuna, dolphin, billfish, as well as inshore for species like snook, kubera snapper, roosterfish, etc. So these are really three of the premier destination fishing lodges in the world and great partners of the International Game Fish Association.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Neil Horton. He's the president of the International Game Fish Association. And our topic of discussion is the annual fishing contest that they put on, where you can win all sorts of prizes, catching 74 different species in three different categories. There's a youth division, there's a fly fishing division, and a conventional tackle division. And if you are a category winner, you're entered for a chance to win a trip of a lifetime. We need to talk about the rules, because if you don't follow the rules, you can't get your entry entered. What are the rules people need to follow here?
So they're pretty simple, John, and again, you can go to igfa.org, our website, and click on Fish and the Annual Fishing Contest, and you can get a full rundown on the rules. But in a nutshell, for a catch to be entered into the contest, the angler needs to be a paid member of the IGFA. Catches made by non-IGFA members can be registered for the contest, and then we'll ask you to pay a membership fee upon the time you put in your entry. The contest runs from October 1st of 2017 through September 1st of 2018, and we need to receive submissions for each catch within 30 days of the time that they're made. All contest submissions need to be weighed on a certified scale that has to have been certified within the past 12 months of when it was weighed. If you don't have a certified scale at the time of weighing, the scale can be checked afterwards and certified for accuracy and verified to us here at the IGFA. All contest entries require the submission of the terminal tackle for conventional, or the fly leader in the case of fly tackle. Both conventional and junior angler submissions require the full length of the leader and the double line if used, and approximately 15 feet of the line immediately following the leader, the double line, or the hook. For fly tackle submissions, we're going to require the full length of the fly leader, including the fly, and no section of the actual fly line is required. Obviously, we want a weight and we want a length measurement of the fish, as well as the tackle that I just outlined. And, you know, that seems extensive, and it is. But remember that we're running this around the world, and we want to make sure that it's a very fair and sportsmanlike competition. And so requiring the tackle is and the appropriate photographs and weights is a way to make sure that all of the submissions are bona fide and that it's a fair competition.
And Neil, these are the exact same rules for a world record fish too, aren't they?
That's correct. We thought that the contest was a good way to introduce people to the rigor that goes on in recording and submitting an application for a world record fish here at the International Game Fish Association.
All right, we have got to go, but folks, I know some of you are wondering, can you catch and release the fish when it's possible to do so in this contest? The short answer is yes, you can. Make sure you take photographs of all of these things that Neil talked about. And if you didn't get all those rules, don't worry. They're easy to find. Just go to igfa.org and click on the fishing link there. Just igfa.org, click on the fishing link, and look for the annual contest. You'll find all the information you need. Neil, this sounds like a lot of fun, and I hope you get a lot of entries this year. Thanks for sharing it with us on America Outdoors Radio.
John, thank you so much for having us on, and by the way, outdoor writers and reporters are eligible too, so I hope you'll go out there and catch big fish this weekend.
I'll do my best.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. We make products for the relentless fishermen who know that big fish are caught by those who put in the work. With our Relentless Series tackle trays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA, Fish Fighter products won't let you down. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
It doesn't matter what sort of adventure you're after, whether it's big game deep in the backcountry, a day of fishing out on the water, or an overnight in the great outdoors. At Sportsman's Warehouse, we've got the gear in here for what you need out there. Gear up for your next adventure at one of the Sportsman's Warehouse stores or shop online. Sportsman's Warehouse, America's premier outfitter.
Millions of deer hunters take to the field every fall, continuing an American tradition. If you're a deer hunter, offer to mentor someone who would like to hunt but hasn't had the opportunity. Help continue the tradition. A message from this station and Whitetails Unlimited.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Fish Fighter Products. They are the company based in Idaho that makes gear for your fishing boat. Gear that's designed to make your day on the water more efficient so you can enjoy fishing and not doing stuff on your boat so you can go fishing. An example is their Quick Mount. It allows you to remove the anchor nest from the bow of your boat and change it out with a Quick Mount for your Minn Kota trolling motor in a matter of seconds. It's amazing what they've come up with here and with their other products. Find out more at fishfighterproducts.com. Speaking of fishing, we've got some of sports fishing's most frequently purchased brands from 2017. As a matter of fact, the top brands purchased last year from a survey conducted by Southwick Associates. The top combo in terms of a fishing rod and reel combo, those were sold by Shakespeare. The top fishing line, Berkley. The top hard bait brand, Rapala. No surprise there. And there's no surprise with the top dough bait either, Berkley, makers of Power Bait. The top jig brand is one called Dirty Jigs. The top sinker, Bullet Weights. Top swivel, Eagle Claw. And the top rig from Sea Striker. The top fly line brand, again, no surprise, is from Scientific Angler. The top fly leaders brand, Rio. And the top clothing brand, Columbia. They do make some very good clothing for anglers. The top landing net was made by Ego, and the top tackle box brand, and the top tackle box was made by Plano. As for the fillet knives you might have out there, Rapala still makes the most popular one. The top trolling motor is from Minn Kota, and the top cooler brand, believe it or not, it's still there, it's still popular, Coleman Coolers. They're still on top. So the next time you're fishing for tackle to go out in the water, if you're wondering what the most popular brands are, you are in the know. Our next story comes from Fishing League Worldwide. There was a Yeti FLW college fishing event at Lake Chickamauga near Chattanooga, presented by Bass Pro Shops last Saturday, and the winners got quite the tale to tell. The winning team was from Bryan College, and that team consisted of Nathan Bell of Riceville, Tennessee, and Cole Sands of Calhoun, Tennessee. They won the one-day tournament, bringing in five bass weighing 21 pounds, 9 ounces. The victory earned their club $2,000 and, more importantly, a spot in the 2019 FLW National Championship. Here's the funny part. Nathan Bell was supposed to be somewhere else on Saturday. He's a senior majoring in business administration and management, and he was supposed to be at his own graduation, but he skipped it so he could compete in the fishing tournament. In his words, "I'd rather be out fishing anyways." Turned out to be a good call, especially since they won. The winning team's main bait was a 16th ounce Big Bite Nail Shaky Head Jig with a 4-inch Blue Flash Zoom Finesse Worm. The other top teams from this tournament at Lake Chickamauga included 2nd place Lipscomb University, 3rd place Auburn University, and 4th place the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Finally, we wrap up our outdoors news segment saying goodbye to William Chambers Sr. He's the founder of Zoom Baits. He passed away from cancer this past week. Chambers was an iconic lure designer who started his nationally known company in a Georgia horse barn back in 1977. He grew this company, which remains a family-owned business, into one of the biggest names when it comes to soft plastic baits in the bass fishing world. Rest in peace, William, and thanks for helping a whole bunch of us anglers catch more bass through your efforts.
Next up, we're broadcasting from the Monroe Sportsman Show in Washington State, and we're talking to a lure manufacturer from Gresham, Oregon. His name is John McComey. He's the owner of McComey's Custom Lures. And if you're looking for something that's going to catch some salmon and some steelhead, you really ought to check out these lures. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, John, you've got some really nice-looking trolling spoons here. They're lightweight, kind of a long teardrop shape. Tell our listeners a little bit about how these came to be.
These spoons were originally started as a commercial fishing, and down in the Oregon coast, we used them for commercial fishing as an idea from them, and they were developed from there.
So hold on, I'm going to cut you off already. So when you're talking commercial fishery, are we talking longliners here that they're trolling a whole bunch of these off some lines?
Yes, that's correct. And so as it went, the development of these finally went into the sport fishermen, and that's where we are now. We have them in diamond patterns in gold, gold nickel, copper, and nickel in a hex pattern. Also come in that. And then we have colors that are coming out, whereas blue and nickel, green and nickel, and so forth. We'll have seven different colors in these spoons. With nice Gamagatsu hooks, which are, in my opinion, are the top of the line in hooks.
Well, and I'm going to cut you off again, John, to point out two things. Number one, folks, the flash on these really pop. And I can only imagine how bright these are in the water compared to other spoons, because, I mean, it really stands out. In the hooks, it's not a normal Siwash hook, is it?
No, these are called Big River hooks, and they're made especially that they will not corrode or rust. And some hooks do that when they hit the salt water. These are basically a saltwater spoon. So, I mean, in the big rivers, you can fish them in the bays and that type of thing. But basically, this is for salt water. So it does make a difference with the hook that you have, so you're not sitting there with rust coming through.
So let's talk about some of the places where anglers are using these spoons. I'm guessing, from what you just said, Tillamook Bay and the Chinook salmon there are probably a target.
Yeah, the Tillamook Bay, Newport, Coos Bay, Astoria, clear up into Westport. And these have also been into Anchorage, Alaska, and in part of Canada, off of Vancouver Island and such. We've got them down in the Bay Area and San Francisco area, in the Sacramento region, and all the way up through the Northern California coast.
One thing I didn't ask, what are the names of these salmon spoons?
These are the called the Elite Salmon Spoons. And they're elite because they are 24-karat gold plated. They are a solid copper that is polished and a lacquer on top, so you never have to get your metal polisher out and shine them up because they'll stay shiny all the time. The reflection off of these in the water, you'll see the difference once they hit the water, and you have different facets coming through, different light facets, and it's incredible. It really is.
All right, well, there you go, folks. If you're after a new spoon that offers lots of flash and a great hook that won't rust, consider the Elite Spoon from McComey's Custom Lures. You're going to find it at Sportsman's Warehouse stores, at Fishfield, at Fisherman's Marine, at Tillamook Sporting Goods, at Bob's, and all sorts of other stores up and down the west coast of Oregon and Washington. Again, it's from McComey's Custom Lures, and let's give out a website, too.
McComey's Custom Lures. .com.
That's McComey'sCustomLures.com and all the stores we just listed, and we didn't even get into the steelhead spinners. We'll say that for another time. John, thanks for sharing this with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Time does fly when you're having fun, and once again, we are out of time this week. But if you are looking for other ways to listen to our show, you can always catch us online Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkAmericaRadio.us and the affiliate stations that air Talk America Radio U.S. programming in Georgia and Florida. Talk America Radio is the new voice of conservative talk radio. We are proud to be part of their lineup. You can hear us on demand anytime you want through Podbean. Just download the app or go to podbean.com. Subscribe to America Outdoors Radio. Another on-demand site is YouTube. Our channel is Northwestern Outdoors. That's one word. Just subscribe and follow us, and you can hear both this show, and our regional show. Finally, we've got a website, AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, where you can figure out what's coming up in the week ahead. And don't forget to like our Facebook page. We just concluded a giveaway there, and our winner was a listener from Eugene, Oregon, tuning into our show on a regular basis on one of our favorite affiliates, KPNW 1120. With spring in full bloom, there's a lot of options out there for you as an angler. Whether you're saltwater fishing for bottom fish, whether you're out there trying to bag a gobbler, whether you're casting for bass, trolling for walleye, reeling in a trout, or heading to the range for a round of skeet or trap shooting, this is a great time to be outside. I hope that you're blessed in the week ahead, and I hope you'll take advantage of one or more of these activities. Remember, it is your country and your outdoors.